If you're frowning after that, you just need to be saved today. Something's wrong. Thank you, Dave, Leanne. God bless you. Great job. Thank you for warming our hearts and preparing us to hear the Word of God today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is our text today. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we conclude our series on abundance. Abundance. We looked at abundance in grace, abundance in joy, abundance in hope, and today abundance in purpose. God's purpose for us is here expressed in this one verse. It's a very powerful verse, and yet I believe it shares what the believer's purpose is, or the purposes are. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, I want to say welcome to those of you watching in the Life Center today. God bless you. Thank you for your tuning in and listening. Verse 58, therefore, because of all the truth Paul has written in chapter 15, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, the new body, the imminent return of our Lord, because of all these great truths, my beloved brethren, sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The service you render is not in vain. It's not empty. But God will bless you and it. And that's good news. Join me in prayer. Father, I pray today you'll touch every heart that hears this message. Help us to realize as your children the three purposes you've given to us. And let us realize them with excitement and enthusiasm, Lord, I pray. Bless today. Speak to every heart in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if Marvin is in heaven today or not. I hope he is. I really hope he is. Worst case, he's not. Best case, he is. But as a Christian, seems to me, he definitely lost his purpose in life. According to the Christian Chronicle, Marvin's grandfather David was a pastor, preached in lots of different towns in the state of Texas. While Marvin's dad was an alcoholic, his mother made certain that Marvin went to Sunday school and church every Sunday. When Marvin was 16, he was there to greet President Kennedy at Dallas Love Field. And after he heard on the radio the president was shot, he and his friend sped to the Parkland Hospital, where he said he saw Jackie Kennedy getting out of the presidential limo in his blood cover in her blood. In practice one day, the coach called him Meatloaf, and the name stuck. Well, Meatloaf was a musical guy, and he started a band, and they opened for The Who, and they opened for The Grateful Dead, and many other groups. Meatloaf skyrocketed to fame and fortune with a song entitled Bat Out of Hell. His net worth shot up to over $40 million. But in 2003, while performing on stage, he collapsed and was diagnosed as having a disease called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which affected the rate of his heartbeat. Over the last 18-plus years, Meatloaf's health has continued to decline. The last video that he made 2 weeks ago, you can watch it. He looked very thin, he looked very frail. In a very, very weak voice, he said he's coming to the end and he's got some surgeries. So he said, but I want everyone, quote, to keep rocking. And I just want to rock and get back out there because that's what I want to do. I want to rock. Reported by TMZ that Meatloaf died of COVID 10 days ago. Before he died, an Anglican priest asked him, is it okay to play Bat Out of Hell at a funeral service? Meatloaf paused and he said, yes, definitely, because the bat's flying in the right direction. Well, back to my opening question. Is Marvin Lee a day in heaven today? I don't know. I hope so. We should all hope so. Worst case, he's not. Best case, he is, but as a Christian, it seems to me he definitely lost his purpose in life. I believe there's a lot of Christians who lose their purpose in life, not because they don't become a pastor or missionary, but because they don't take the three actions mentioned here by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Paul was explaining the concept of our future glorification when this perishable must put on the imperishable and this mortal body should put on the immortal body. And because one day when Jesus returns, we're going to get a brand new glorified body, we can say with a smile on our faces, death, where is your victory? Grave, where's your sting? Whether we live or die, verse 57, we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, because we have victory, whether we live or die, we should take these three actions to achieve God's three purposes in our life. If you're not a believer in Christ, step one is turn from sin and put your trust and faith in Christ. That's step number one. Steps two, three, and four are what Paul told the Corinthians to do here, and you'll experience God's abundant purpose in your life. God's purpose goes beyond fame and fortune, and it includes our spiritual convictions and spiritual commitments. So, Christian, how can you realize God's purpose for your life? Three ways, three steps. Here they are. Number one, be aware of steadfastness. Be aware of steadfastness. Verse 58, first phrase, therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be steadfast, immovable. Because we have the assurance the gospel is true, that Jesus died for our sins, that He rose from the grave, we're going to get a new glorified body the moment He returns, we need to be steadfast and immovable in our faith. Now, both terms picture something firmly anchored and not moving around. Steadfast means morally fixed. Immovable means anchored and not able to be moved. Being steadfast means you're anchored to something, and immovable is the result of being anchored to something. Steadfast is the cause, immovable is the result. If you go fishing and you find a good spot, you know that in order to stay in that good spot, you got to put down anchor. And if you don't, the wind will blow you all over the lake or all over the gulf, wherever you are. If you find a good spot and you don't put down anchor, you won't be in the spot very long. And many a fisherman has forgotten to drop anchor and uttered those words, uh-oh, I think we're moving. What a picture of our faith. We put down anchor in God's Word. We have a strong conviction that it's true. And the result of this strong conviction is our lives won't be blown about all over the place. Ephesians 4:14, Paul wrote, he did not want the Ephesians to be children, immature believers, who were tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We need to be firmly anchored, Christian, by knowing what we believe and strongly believe what we say we believe and who live what we believe. It's a conviction, and the result of that conviction is this. Those who believe this and live this are anchored to God's Word and they are steadfast and immovable. Psalm 1 tells us they're like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Now, as you know, trees are different than tumbleweeds. Trees have deep roots. Tumbleweeds don't. Trees are sturdy and have fruit. Tumbleweeds don't. Trees stay in one place. Tumbleweeds don't. Trees are anchored, planted. Tumbleweeds are not. Trees are healthy and green. Tumbleweeds are not. That doesn't mean bad things never happen to trees. They do. Sometimes lightning strikes them, the blight, the drought, whatever. But eventually, trees die of old age like people. But while they live, trees are fixed and anchored, and they don't change locations. They put down roots where they are, they grow where they are, and bloom where they're planted. Not the tumbleweed. Tumbleweeds are all over the place, like many people are in their faith. Did you know that Russian immigrants brought the Russian thistle, the tumbleweed, to South Dakota in 1873? And in just a few decades, tumbleweeds were all over Colorado, Canada, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and parts west. Some of them actually blew into railroad cars heading east to the Atlantic, and so now we have tumbleweeds in the east. In 2020, a storm of tumbleweeds was so bad, state troopers in Washington State had to spend, get this, 10 hours digging cars and semi-trucks out from under a mountain of tumbleweeds. And the name for that event, if you look in Wikipedia, it's got to be honest if it's in Wikipedia, is Tumblegeddon. Tumblegeddon. You know, as you look at most churches today, you find yourself singing the song by Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers. Remember that song? See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the what? Tumbling tumbleweeds. Christian, we're not like to be like that. We're to be like a mighty oak or a palm tree. They bend a little bit, but they don't move. They're steadfast. They're immovable. We ought to know what we believe, understand why we believe it, live what we believe. And the reason is because we really believe it. There are some believers, none at Scott Lake, but there are some out there in other churches, believe it or not. they go to church for a while, and they go to Bible study for a while, and once they grow up, listen, young folks, once they grow up and leave high school, well, it's like they forget everything they ever learned that anchored them to the truth of God's Word. And suddenly they're being blown all over the place like a spiritual tumbling tumbleweed. A lot of celebrities, I won't name them, I could, and I got a long list. I had them in my first draft, and I cut them the second draft. A lot of celebrities who grew up in homes where their parents took them to church. But because the parents' values weren't the children's values, and because it conflicted with their big purpose of getting fame and fortune and life in the fast lane, they left the faith of their childhood and they tumbled on to bigger and better things that actually weren't bigger and better. Did you know that cult groups don't target and go after atheists and agnostics? They don't. I always wonder, you know who they go after? They go after Baptists who don't know what in the world they believe. One writer wrote that the largest single group of converts to Mormonism are former Baptists. Did you know that? Largest group targeted, and successfully so, by Mormons are Baptists, former Baptists. Now, why is that? Because they don't have a clue what they believe. They don't know what the Bible teaches. They don't know what they believe. As a fisherman needs to be aware when they're drifting on the water, believers need to be aware when they're drifting on biblical teachings and doctrines that aren't right and that are right. We need to know what's right and anchor into it. And the only way you'll know that, friend, is to make a commitment to study God's Word. Corporately in worship, small group Bible study, privately in reading, personal, and Bible study. Now, this is one of those holy hush moments. I don't have a drummer up here, but this would be a good drum roll right here, Gabe, if we had a drummer right here. Give me a drum roll. Okay, here it is. Other than reading your Bible daily, why not make a commitment to study your Bible study lesson every week before you get to class? Whoo! Mic drop. One more time. Why not make a commitment to study your Bible study lesson every week before you get to class? Teachers, make sure you have a Sunday school lesson that provides the opportunity for your class to have a plan, a reading assignment before they come to class. You remember back in high school or college, professor gave a reading assignment. You had to do it before you went to class, or he might call on you. Chapter number 6, what was the, and it's like, uh-oh, I didn't read it. I didn't come prepared. Why not prioritize your Bible study lesson before going to Bible study, Sunday school, small groups, whatever you call it? One reason I like the 3 Lifeway Bible study series, either the Gospel Project, Bible Studies for Life, or the Explore the Bible series, is because students, and thank you for your generous tithes and offerings that make us, that allow us the privilege of providing this to every member free of charge. Students are given a take-home study guide, or if you prefer the old-timey word that starts with a Q, what's the old-timey word? Quarterly, amen, that you can study before you come to class. Your study time is not designed to be just a share session or a session or what do you think so-and-so. No, no, no. It should be a time when you come because you're sharp, you're prepared, you're ready to go, you've studied in advance the background, See, I believe every believer needs to be anchored in the truth of God's Word so they can be steadfast and immovable, morally fixed, not blown about by every wind of doctrine. Several years ago, not many, Dr. John MacArthur was asked, Dr. MacArthur, what's the biggest threat to Christianity today? Just rhetorical, don't answer it out loud, but he was asked, what's the biggest threat to Christianity today? He replied, quote, professing Christians who don't know their Bibles. And they don't know how to interpret their Bibles, end quote. I believe he's right. Many professing Christians who are Baptists, none here but in other churches, they have a syncretistic view of Bible truth. They take a little of this, a little of that, kind of like a cafeteria. I want a little bit of that, a little bit of that. And they kind of put it all together. When you mush it all together, it's like, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's like somebody telling you, okay, we're catching a lot of fish here. This is a good place to drop anchor. Here's the problem. You don't know what an anchor is. You don't know what to do with the anchor when you find the anchor. So you put the anchor on top of the engine and you're still blown all over the place. Wait a minute, that's not right. You hang the anchor over the side of the boat. You're still moving all over the place. You hold the anchor in your hand. Okay, we're still moving. What's wrong? I'll put the anchor on my head. Maybe that'll keep us in one spot, right? We must know our Bibles and we must know how to use our Bibles And that requires a commitment to read your lesson every week so you're ready when you come to class. I guess step one is, are you in a Bible study class? That's step number one. Make sure you get signed up in a Bible study class. Now, preacher, I've tried them all, and I don't like one. I don't like any. Well, do you feel called to teach one? Teach one. If you feel called of, led of God to teach one, we'll give you a class, give you a paper roll. You got to do some work, but we'll give you a roll. It's good Americans own Bibles. Most all Americans do. It's not good that half believe the Bible teaches God helps those who help themselves is actually in the Ten Commandments. It's not. 60% of Americans can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. And you know all of them, right? So we have to get back as churches to prioritizing biblical literacy and education, lest we become like those celebrities who went to church a little time when they were a child, then they left high school, and they never come back. If you want to know God's purpose for your life, God's purpose is bigger than when you go to school. It's bigger than what vocation God wants you to work or whom to marry or what house to buy, what car to drive. God's purpose is a whole lot bigger than that. After you turn from sin and you trust and turn to Jesus, God's big purpose for your life is for you to be spiritually steadfast and immovable. God wants you focused and fixed and fastened to God's Word and the great truths it teaches about Christ's death and His burial and His resurrection and His soon and second coming, imminent return and glorification and all these truths we find in the Word of God. He wants you to know Him and know Him. And when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, and everyone that has this hope in themselves purifies themselves even as He is pure. God doesn't want us blown around like tumbling tumbleweeds. He wants us rock solid in our faith, growing in our faith. So anchor your heart, mind, and soul to the truth of God's Word so that you can fulfill God's purpose for your life, that you be steadfast and immovable. Be like the tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. And be aware of whether or not are you drifting right now. Am I drifting? Are you growing all over the place spiritually? Put down roots. We have an anchor of the soul that enters into the veil. Man, we can put down an anchor. Number two, be abundant in service. Abundant in service, verse 58, second phrase. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. This is an imperative verb, tells us it's a command, but it's also present tense, telling it's an ongoing, continual command. We should be steadfast and immovable, and we should always be overflowing in the Lord's work. For every Christian who stopped going to church, and every church has those folks, their names are on the roll, they haven't darkened the church in ages, long before COVID, they weren't coming ages before COVID. I want to ask them, how can you abound in the work of the Lord if you're not with the Lord's people in the Lord's house with God's people when they assemble? How can you abound in the work of the Lord? Now, you can serve others by helping a friend or a neighbor or a homeless man on the street, yes, but the work of the Lord starts at church, where the Lord's people gather. That's where it starts. Dr. W. Vine noted the phrase work of the Lord is different than the phrase work for the Lord. Work for the Lord is what we choose to do. Work of the Lord is what He chooses for us to do. Work of the Lord is what He wants us to do. Work for the Lord is work of the Lord is what He wants us to do. Work for the Lord is what we want to do. Okay, I think I got that finally right. You with me? Good. Sometimes I mess up just so you'll follow me. Actually, I don't, but it sounded awfully pious. Okay. It's important that we do what He wants us to do and not just what we want to do. Ask your 9-year-old grandson, now for lunch today, do you want meat and vegetables or do you want an ice cream sundae with fudge on top? And what are they going to say? They're going to take the ice cream and the fudge any day. If I ask my 2-year-old grandson, Jacob, do you want vegetables or do you want a cookie? Little fella smart. Two cookies. He's learned to numerically differentiate between one and two, and he found out two is better. Here's what I'm saying, friends. We need to do what the Lord wants us to do. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And verse 7 reminds us, these varieties of gifts are given for the common good. The common good, that means they're given by the Holy Spirit, sovereignly so, to minister to others at church and not ourselves. Ephesians 4:12, spiritual gifts are for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. My gifts are by God, and the reason you've been given that specific, unique gift isn't just so you'll know what it is and identify it and be proud about it and tell others about it, but so you'll use it and you'll serve others in the body of Christ. So you'll serve others in the body of Christ. How should we serve in the body of Christ? Once and done, and I'm done forever? Well, you know, I did that 25 years ago. I worked in the nursery for a couple months, and I've done my thing. I pulled my stint and done my thing. No, friend, the present tense participle here about always abounding means it goes on and on and on and on and on. The Holy Spirit gave us a spiritual gift so we might have a ministry and we might continually do something. Continually? Continually. Can you imagine filling up the new car you just bought and drove off the lot, and you fill it up for the very first time at the gas station and say, well, I'm done with that. No, not exactly. Putting a new battery in a flashlight and saying, well, those batteries will last forever, and I'm only going to turn it on once, and I'm done. I pulled my time. The reason we're given a spiritual gift is so we might activate it at church. There's a variety of ministries where you can use your specific gift to benefit the work of the Lord in this local church. There's a variety of positions on a football team where you can use your specific strengths to benefit the team. Variety of ministries at church where you can use the gifts God's given you to abound continually in the work of the Lord. Not everyone should preach and teach, but not everyone should cook or fix things. I'm in that category that don't cook and fix things. I can make a bologna sandwich and even get the bologna hot, but don't push it, okay? Not everyone should work in the sound booth. That takes some technical skill. Not everybody should sing in the choir. Some people can't sing. If they can't sing, I know there's making a joyful noise, but you have to have a little bit of ability to sing. God bless you. Find your strengths. Find your gifts. Use them to abound in the work of the Lord. How sad to go to church and Bible study as a child and after high school, just drop out. Go AWOL on God, not attend church. Never use the gifts God's given you to serve at the church. How terrible to have your obituary say, as Marvin's did, he did not belong to any faith-based institution. That's one of those things that grieve me. As a pastor, it's like he was a member of the Baptist church. You're going to say, okay, which one? Well, just kind of that generic universal Baptist church. Where's that located? How do they use their gifts there, How do you abound in the work of the Lord if you're not in a local church? I'm a local church guy. Aren't you local church people? I believe. Now, I know there's a universal church. I got it. But you serve and use your gift in a local expression, a local assembly. If you're not going to church, how do you realize one of God's three big purposes for your life? You've heard of the great poet Ogden Nash. Here's what Ogden Nash wrote. It's a great little poem, but I improved on it a little bit. I didn't go to church today. I trust the Lord to understand. The surf was swirling in blue and white, the children swirling on the sand. He knows how brief my stay, how brief the spell of summer weather. He knows when I'm said and done, then we'll have plenty of time together. Here's my version. I happily went to church today. God's word I need to understand. The weather doesn't prove what's right. My children need a guiding hand. I know how brief my stay, how short the time for toil and works. And I know when I am said and done, God will reward with crowns and perks. That's my version. You like that one better? Okay. If you want to know God's purpose for your life, be aware of your own steadfastness. Are you fixed and focused on the Word of God? Are you growing in your faith? Are you actively involved in Bible study? Or are you drifting? Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's windy outside. The winds of secularism and atheism, they're blowing. They're blowing. Humanism, those winds are blowing. We need an anchor of the soul that enters into the veil. We need it. Number three, be assured of success. This is our third purpose. Be assured of success. This is so you don't get frustrated. This is God's purpose. The last phrase of 58, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That word kenos for vain is empty. As we're steadfast and immovable, as our faith is growing and abounding in God's Word, as we're overflowing in service, we know and have known. The perfect tense here tells us we have come to know experientially. We know this, that our work is not in vain. The work, the word work, abounding in the work of the Lord, is a different word than the word work at the end of the verse that says our toil or labor is not in vain. The first word means actively doing. The second word means doing it until you're about to drop. You're so tired. That's why the NASV translates it toil and the King James labor. Listen, Christian, we ought to be abounding and doing for the Lord, actively serving every day, every week. Even there are times we're tired and we feel like dropping. We're just so fatigued. Why is it we ought to keep going? It's because our toil is not in vain. It's not empty. It's not without accomplishment. God is working through us, and it will bring about fruit in the proper time. So regardless of how insignificant you think your service for the Lord is, it's not in vain. It matters. Our service for God matters. I love the story of William Carey. Went to India with his family, contracted malaria, lost his little 5-year-old son to dysentery. He wrote a letter back home that said, I'm in a strange land. I have no Christian friends. I have a large family and nothing to supply their wants. But I have God, and His word is sure. Carey began preaching in small little clusters, gatherings, and he started simultaneously began translating the Bible into Bengali. He preached for 1 year, not a single convert. Preached 2 years, not a convert. 3 years, not a convert. 4, 5, 6, not a convert. I'm here to tell you, friends, I probably second guess, well, I don't think God wants me here. I'm going home. That's not what happened. In the 7th year, his first convert, Krishna Pal, came to Christ. And you can read about Krishna Pal's influence and ministry and testimony. It's really powerful. 2 months later, after his conversion, Carey published his first Bengali New Testament. No doubt he wondered, is my work in vain? But what does 1 Corinthians 15:58 promise? Literally, having known from experience, your toil is not in vain in the Lord. For 28 years, old Carey kept on toiling and laboring and to the point of failure. What matters most for the poet Ogden Nash, who died in 1971, and the singer Meatloaf, who died 2 weeks ago, was not how they enjoyed the beach on Sundays and the swirling of the ocean in the warm breeze. What matters most is not did they have 40 million, 41, or 39 million in the bank. What matters most is what did they do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? How did they use their lives, their gifts, their time to serve and honor and glorify the Lord? That is all that matters right now for them, for you, for me, for everyone, and for anyone. One of Meatloaf's songs was called Heaven Can Wait. I think they made a movie with this title. Had these lyrics. Heaven can wait and all I got is time until the end of time. Well, I won't look back, I won't look back, let the altar shine. I don't know that I've been released. I know that I've been released, but I don't know to where. Whew. What a terrible way to live life, right? Don't know where I'm going to go when I die. Nobody's going to tell me now. And I don't really care. No, no, no. Those are some lyrics from the song that he did, Heaven Can Wait. They're very sad lyrics. I hope, I pray, the singer Marvin Lee Adday, changed his name to Michael Lee Adday, better known as Meatloaf. I hope he's in heaven today. I really do. Worst case, God makes the call. I don't make the call. God makes the call. Worst case is he's not. Best case is, he is. And if he is, it certainly seems just to me, he lost his purpose in life. And that's sad. That's sad. Good news. We don't have to lose our purpose in life. And now you know from this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:58, the 3 steps you and I can take to avoid making that same mistake. God has an abundance of purpose for us. But really, it seems so simple. It's right here. Steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil for the Lord is not in vain. That's good news. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us as your children today to actively serve, to find the ministry where we can use the gifts, spiritual gifts, experience, relational style, vocational experience, enthusiasm, all the things that make up our service, and put them, activate them to minister to others in this local congregation. Thank you, Lord, for these who are doing this already so faithfully and actively. Some have served for decades. Thank you for that. Thank you, God, for our teachers. Thank you for our helpers. Thank you for our cooks. Thank you for, Lord, those that work the technical things that are electronic. And thank you for those that, Lord, help usher and those who serve as deacons. And God, just thank you for all those who are actively using the gifts you've given to serve you. God, refresh us today with the reminder that our toil for you is not in vain. Thank you, Lord, that we will be rewarded according to our motives and our service. And Heavenly Father, if there's one this morning who's never been born again, they've never received the free gift of eternal life, I pray, God, you'll help them as we have this invitation time to come forward and say, look, I've never been saved. I need to turn from sin and put my trust in Jesus today. Or maybe for a Christian who has done that, but they need to get back in line with your purpose for their life, pray you'll help them to know that. Maybe for a couple, an individual that might need to come putting their membership at Scott Lake. Thank you, God, for your work in our congregation. And thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share today. And thank you for your goodness and how you always answer prayer. I pray that you'll bless the invitation as we surrender all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 275, I surrender all. And that's what this invitation is really about, doing what God wants you to do. Why wouldn't you do that today? Why wouldn't you do that today? Man, today's a great day to do that. Not to say other days aren't great, you know? Do you know for sure you're heaven bound? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and knocking. He's knocked before. This is the question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? Let's stand and sing. 275, I'll wait for you. If you need to come, come on right now. What, today's a great day. Let's sing one more verse. Sometimes people think, well, if I go today, I'll be the only one. I don't want to go. You're not the only one. A lot of folks aren't here because of COVID. A lot of folks aren't here because of cold. A lot of folks aren't here because they got the word there's no water at the church. But there's a living water that still flows. Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Let's sing one more verse. If you need to come, why not let it be today? Why would you wait, dear brother? Why would you tarry so long? This day is for you. Come right on. Last verse, and then we'll close the invitation. Oh, Jesus. congregation, you may be seated. Buddy and Susan, if you wouldn't mind to come up here and stand beside of me. This is Buddy and Susan DeLoach. They've been attending Scott Lake for years or months?
More than a year,
okay. Ministerially speaking, years. Now, they've been coming for a good long time, and they attend my Sunday school class that I teach. Currently, their membership is at First Presbyterian Church. I had the chance to talk to them about their salvation experience. They each related a salvation conversion experience. Buddy has been baptized, but he wants to be baptized again with his wife who has not been immersed. So they're both coming by statement of faith, both for immersion, right? So they're going to be Baptists. When you go in the water, you have to be dunked, right? To be a Baptist. So they're coming to do that. If you rejoice, sweet couple that love the Lord, if you rejoice in Buddy and Susan's transfer of membership from First Presbyterian here in Lakeland, would you raise your hand and say, praise God, updated, in case we have to make some other changes in the week. So keep up with that. By the way, can I give you a great outreach opportunity? A great outreach opportunity is call somebody you know that doesn't come on Sunday night and say, hey, so-and-so, I just want to let you know we're not having service tonight. I love that. Don't you love that? I go to that church. Really? That's great. I think I know that preacher. What's his name? Anyway. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? Shame on the Baptist preacher for telling all of his secrets. Oh, I've had 4 cups of coffee and a ginseng. I'm ready to go. Let's fire it up and do it again. All right. I got a sermon for tonight. All right. Anyway, come let Buddy and Susan know you're thrilled they're with us, okay? Thank you for being here today. Seriously, if you don't mind, let people know that come on Sunday night. Let everybody know that we're not having service, and we'll get the water taken care of. We'll get that fixed as soon as we can, as soon as we can, all right? Watch the Facebook and watch the website. Thank you. Anything else I'm missing, Brother Chuck? Guys, anything else I need to share? Okay.
Next Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. We got the Dixie Echoes. If you like Southern Gospel, now the old group, the Statesman Quartet. Some of you remember the Statesman. These guys are a lot like the Statesman Quartet. They're good. I've listened to them. If you like, the harmony is really tight. It's good harmony. Southern Gospel. I mean Southern Gospel. If you like that, you'll enjoy these guys next Sunday night. So anything else, Mr. Chuck? Yes, sir. Wednesday, just watch your website. Call the church office, and hopefully, you know, by Wednesday we'll be back in the office. So hopefully. I know what you know, and that's not much. All right, let's stand to be dismissed in prayer. Who's our offertory prayer? Brother Tom, thank the Lord for this sweet couple, and thank the Lord for the privilege of giving back to Him.
I know this couple, too. They're good people. You need to come up and greet them. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this day that you've given us, Lord, and we just thank you for the many blessings that you've given us through the days and the weeks and the years, Lord. And at this time now, we give back some of that blessings that you've given us and blessed us with. Father, we pray for each one that would brave the cold to come out today and all those that couldn't come because of the cold today. Lord, I just ask that all of us reach out and ask somebody to church for next Sunday, Lord. And Father, we just bless this blessing, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
God bless you.